everyone, and welcome to episode number 139 of Book Hype. My name is Karen, and today I'm joined by Kristen and special guest Danielle. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Brittany wasn't able to join us this weekend to record, so we asked Danielle to come on board, and as always, she was able and willing, which we really appreciate.
Yes, more than happy to do so, even though nobody can ever fill Brittany's shoes.
No. But we are happy to have you, and also happy to thank you on air for taking care of our Facebook page. We talked about it last week and thanked you 1,000 times, but now we can do it. I was going to say face-to-face, like voice-to-voice.
Yeah. Voice-to-voice.
1,000 thanks.
I love it. I'm enjoying it so far. People are starting to interact, and it's more fun that way.
Yay.
So, I love it, and it keeps me more up on my book news, because there are some times where I just kind of like maybe gloss over some stories, and now I feel like I'm more in the know because I have to be. So it's a good thing.
That's awesome. Well, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at BookHype, Facebook.com/HypeableBooks, and our Goodreads page is under Hypeable Books as well. Sonia is the one that manages that, and maybe we'll have her on soon so we can also thank her voice to voice. All right, so we're going to kick off with what we've been reading this week. I'm back, another week, another book down. So excited. This is two in a row. It's a record for like this year, which is really sad. But so I read The Dark Prophecy by Rick Riordan, which is the second book in the Trials of Apollo series. You guys know how much I love Rick Riordan and all of his books. That being said, I didn't love this one. It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with it, to be honest. I just had a hard time kind of getting into it. It has its high moments, and Apollo is still Apollo, which is why I fell in love with the first book to begin with. But that first book was just so, so good that I'm thinking maybe this book, I just had like grand expectations and it kind of went in a different direction for me. So a little sad about that. I've heard other people say how much they like it, and still others say that they kind of felt the same way as me. So maybe it's just divided along that line. But I can't wait for the third and final Magnus book in October, because that, talk about high expectations, but I don't think I'm going to be disappointed because I love Magnus so much.
Let's face it, it was bound to happen eventually.
Right.
The man has written so many books and we've loved them all. I mean, we always have little things here and there where you're like, I wish that was different, but it's okay. You know, it was bound to happen eventually. There'd be one that you weren't just in love with. So if it was this one, so be it. And maybe the last one will return to being your favorite. Like,
and this one,
although he's doing like five. In
five for Apollo. So second book, you know, still trying to find your footing. Maybe by three or four, it'll get better. So
yeah, there's hope.
Yeah, I'm not too disappointed. It's not end of the world. Or is it? I mean, Apollo does have to save the world. That was a terrible joke. I'm sorry.
I liked it.
Let's move on to what you've been reading, Kristen.
Well, only one this week, which seems strange. Putting one title in the doc was really weird for me.
Weird.
but that's because I'm rereading the audiobook for Roar right now, and I've been like delayed. I've been reading a little bit at work every day trying to put off finishing it because I just love it.
Time it. How long did it take Kristen to mention Roar?
Oh, 5 minutes? Yeah. No, it's the audiobook is great too. The narrator is really great, and I'm enjoying it so far. So we just got to like the really good parts. So now I'm like, all right, here we go. And now I'm trying to like pace myself. But the book that I did actually read this week for the first time is Salvaged by Jay Crownover. It is the last book in the Saints of Denver series, and we'll wrap up our time in Denver starting with the Marked Men, ending with the Saints of Denver. It was an 11 book adventure, basically. Wow. two series, but 11 books in the same world. And wow. I love these characters and I love this world, and this final book was kind of one that we've all been waiting for. The lead male character we met back in like Jet, I'm pretty sure. which is the second book in The Marked Men. So it's 10 books ago. And then the female character we met at the beginning of The Saints of Denver. So it's just, or no, we met her in Rowdy's book in The Marked Men. So like, we've known the two characters that led this book forever, and it's been a long road to get there, but this story was a little different than Jay's usual fare. Usually her, one of the two characters in her worlds almost always is like temperamental or feisty or really just like hard to find your love for, but as you get to know the character, you see that they're not all hard edges and you know, tough to love. And with these two, they're both such broken souls. They've both been through so much in their lives that seeing them find each other and just, it's really just a book of healing, was the perfect way to end the series. It was really, really beautiful. I loved it. And everyone should read all of Jay's books because they really are fabulous. So that's, yeah, I'll stop now. But I loved Salvage. It's really good.
Awesome. It does sound good. And I've read some of those, so I know where you're coming from.
Yeah. You've read Jet, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you remember Wheeler?
Wait, did I read Jet? Yes, I read Jet because I did like him.
Yeah, and Wheeler is like the guy that owns the auto body shop. I'm pretty sure we meet him in Jet. Anyway, He's the main character in this. So, and cool. You know, if you get to it or if you notice it, it's one of those fun things. Okay,
that is cool. Okay, Danielle, I'm excited for you to talk about both of your books for different reasons, but the first one because I helped you get this book.
Yeah, you did. So I'm going to preface all of this by saying this is kind of a lie because I'm not reading anything like at this very moment. I'm between books at the moment. But that being said, I just finished a book called Midnight at the Electric by Jody Lynn Anderson. And this is the book that Karen helped me get. She sort of asked me like, hey, this has like historical elements to it and it's got a pretty cover. You want to read it? I was like, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll try it.
What so other reasons do you need?
Yeah, I know. I mean, those are two very good reasons for me, but I mean, they're very simple, but it fits because this book is, it's probably my favorite books I've ever read, which I don't give that compliment out lightly. It is a simple sort of character study, but it's beautiful. Like the writing and the storytelling is absolutely beautiful. Long story short, it's kind of about this girl who's living, I think like 40 years in the future, and she's about to go and be like a colonizer on Mars or something. And so she's going through training for that, but she has to stay with like this family member she never knew existed. And she starts going through like some of the family member's stuff and finds this old diary from the family who had lived in that house previously. And from there, she finds, and so you get like the character who lived there previously through like diary entries. And that kind of springs off into a character that's connected to that character who was living through the Dust Bowl. So then you go down to this third character and you get her story through letters. And it's very interesting. You kind of go down a rabbit hole of like novel to diary entries to letters and then like back up and back down again. And it's just seeing how these three young women live their lives and how they don't have a lot in common on the surface, but they're both trying to move forward with their life. And it's kind of how those women do that or like how they can do it with their circumstances. And I know I didn't explain it very well just now, but it's worth a read. It's beautiful. It's one of the best books definitely the best book I've read this year. One of the best books I've probably ever read, period. And that is Midnight at the Electric by Jody Lynn Anderson. And then I am planning to start tomorrow during my lunch break at work, Guilt Hollow by Laurie Langdon. I know absolutely nothing about this book really besides like the summary on the back, but Karen, when we were at BEA last year, was like trying to find this author and then got really excited when she saw her. And then I sort of like tagged along as Karen slightly fawned over the author at her booth, and I got a free copy of the book. So I'm just getting around to reading it now, which is about 14 months later, maybe 15. So I'm very timely on these things, but it looks good.
You're one step ahead of me. I still haven't read it.
I'm one step ahead of Karen.
I was going to say,
she's a big fan.
I was going to say, I recognize this title because I'm pretty sure I've seen it on the shelf for a while. Like, yeah. I pass by it, and every time I walk through the living room, I just kind of glance at the bookcase, and different titles stand out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And this one's got like a cool teal-ish colored cover, like a nice, pretty blue. But Kristen, you might like it. It seems like it has some sort of like romancy thing going on, slightly, but I mean, more of like a YA romancy thing.
I mean, I'm sort of into that.
Yeah. So if you ever want to take it and steal it off of her bookshelf. I don't think she'll notice.
She might have more than one copy, in which case one of them will just end up on my shelf.
And there you go. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
And for anybody who's thinking Lori Langdon's name sounds familiar, she is one half of the writing duo that does the Dune books, which is why I got excited when I saw her, because I quite liked the first couple of Dune books. Okay, so guys, we're going to do something a little bit new, and hopefully this sticks, because this was Kristen's idea, and I thought it was a fantastic idea when she brought it up. We want to kind of give you guys a deal of the day sort of thing every time we put out one of these episodes, because a lot of times, you know, ebooks and stuff, they can cost $10, but Amazon runs deals all the time, and some really big authors have their books go on sale for like a dollar or two. So it's really worth to kind of keep an eye out for those sort of things. You could end up picking up a book or a series for really cheap, and Chris and I are trying to figure out the logistics of this, because apparently, like, you can't really tell when they go on sale exactly and when that sale ends and how long it necessarily lasts. I don't think it's like a standard kind of thing. So Kristen's going to give you a couple of book titles that you should be on the lookout for, and hopefully they'll still be on sale by the time you get around to this. But if not, you know, go to the next episode and maybe those will be on sale.
Yeah, anyone who buys ebooks from Amazon knows that one day something can be on sale and the next day it won't be, and you never really know. If you follow your favorite authors on Twitter or such, sometimes even they're surprised. They're like, my book's on sale! Like, Amazon is kind of really secretive about how things go on sale and how long it lasts. So this is a test. We'll see what happens. Most of the time, these are on sale for at least a week. So I'm going to try and give you titles that have been given to me like Friday or Saturday or Sunday so that you have a really good chance at catching the deal once this goes live on Tuesdays. So this week, I get most of my like deal recommendations either from my favorite authors on Twitter or Facebook, or I get them from BookBub. If you do not subscribe to BookBub, they basically curate a list of titles that will be on sale on Amazon like every day. I get an email every day with a list of like 10 books, and a lot of them are things that I'm not readily interested in, but more often than not, there's at least one or two that are authors I follow and love. So I've picked up a lot of new authors, and I've picked up a lot of really interesting stuff that way, and gotten it for a dollar, maybe $2, sometimes free if it's, you know, a new author that's trying to like get a following. She'll put her book in there for free for a week or so. This week, I'm recommending Victoria Schwab's The Savage Song. I have not read it, but the cover is gorgeous, and I know her name. I have not read anything by Victoria Schwab, but like, just seeing the cover of this, and like, it just looked great, and I figured it was something that you guys would definitely be interested in at least checking out. Read the synopsis. It's on sale for $1.99, and I know that the print version is at least like $10 or something, and they of course replace the digital copy price, so I don't know how much it usually is, but these books can range anywhere from like $8 to $10 even in ebook form, so maybe one to check out. It sounds really cool, and I really hope you like that one. The other one that I'm recommending is an author that is very near and dear to my heart. She's an Ohio resident, which makes it even cooler. Jennifer Kruse, I've talked about her before. She's written one of my favorite books of all time, bet me. But the one that's on sale is called The Cinderella Deal. I read this one a long time ago, so I don't really remember all of it. It's about time for a reread. But it is also $1.99 this week. And you really can't go wrong. And if you get like these digital copies really inexpensively, a lot of times the Audible narration is also really cheap to add. This one, you can add the narration for like an additional $7 or so, which is just about the price of the audiobook. So for the price of the audiobook itself, you can get both the digital book and the audiobook, which is kind of cool. So I hope these work. Let us know if you pick them up and what you think of them. And, you know, if the price changes between now and when you guys get this episode, let me know, because we'll change the idea. We'll try and morph it a little bit and see if we can get you a better one.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. I hope this works out, because it'll be a good way for me to stay on top of these things, too. I'm just going to mooch off of you and the podcast. Yeah, I don't have to do any extra work.
I mean, that's my motto. For life. Yes. That's what I do with my life anyway. So this is great.
Everyone else do the work for me.
Sounds about right.
But I will sing your praises in the process. That's a good mm-hmm. deal, isn't it? Yeah. Jumping into Book Bites now, this is a question that Brittany actually came up with. So I'm kind of sad that she's not here this week, but it was such a good question, I didn't not want to use it. So maybe next week she'll give us her two cents on this. But if you could have one more book in a completed series, what would it be and why? Did either of you think of this ahead of time? Do you have a ready answer?
I did until you said completed series. I have one that's sort of open-ended. Can that count?
Sure, let's hear it.
Okay, so this might be cheating a little bit, slightly, but I'm going to throw it out there. The Veronica Mars series. Because I will say, so we got the movie revival that happened, and then we got two books after that. They came out like maybe 6 months to a year apart. One of them on my birthday, and I was so excited. And then Rob Thomas has just been so busy with iZombie and a few other projects he has going on that he, at first we were supposed to get a third one, but then that kind of got put off, and now it doesn't look like we're going to get one. Now it just kind of looks like they're trying to figure out where to take Veronica Mars next. And while I would love to see her on my screen again in some form, I know that'll be difficult. So if I could have like another book in this series that they have going on right now, I would be so happy.
I think that totally counts, to be honest.
Yeah,
I hope so.
I think it counts.
Yeah. And I agree, by the way, because I didn't read the second one yet, but I really loved the first one. And of course, everything Veronica Mars.
Yes. The second one is fantastic. Like, the first one was good, but this one is better. It's wonderful.
That's awesome. I definitely need to read it then. I might have it floating around here somewhere. Guys, I have such a problem.
Yeah, I know. You might. You might. I do know that you got me the first one, though.
It was you, right?
And yeah, you got it, and you got it signed for me by
it was funny because remember I sent it to you, and you were like, I already own this. Why did she send me another copy of it?
Yep.
And then you opened it up and saw why.
And then cried. Yeah. So. Yes, I do remember this.
All right, Kristen, what about you?
Okay, for me... I want another book in the Ivy Years series by Serena Bowen.
Okay.
And not just any book, but I want Dana's book. Dana was Corey's roommate in the first one, in The Year We Fell Down.
Oh.
And she and the, like, captain of the water polo team, the British guy, totally hit it off in that book. And we get the flirtation, like, through Corey's eyes and through Hartley's eyes, but we never really get their story. I know that she wrote a very short tale of them, but it's not a book. And I would love to read a full-length story of Dana, and I think it's Daniel. I'm not sure. I can't remember if what his name was, but I want their story. I love Dana. She's so funny and silly in The Year We Fell Down that I would die if I got to read her actual like book, but we'll probably never get it because I'm pretty sure Serena has moved on. We're getting glimpses of the Ivy Years people in her recent series, but I don't think she's going back, which makes me really sad.
That is sad. All right. Mine's kind of cheating too, I'm not going to lie, but like technically not. So no surprise, I'm going to pick a Rick Riordan series. And I'm going to say...
What? Shocker.
I'm sorry, I'm so predictable.
Sorry, I had to.
Mine would actually be not the original Percy Jackson series, but the Heroes of Olympus series, the second one. And we got 5 books in that series. And I know what you guys are saying. That story kind of continues over into the Trials of Apollo series. And we get to see a lot of the characters from those books, but it's not the same. I really miss being in the perspective of like Jason and Nico, and you get a lot of Leo's story in Apollo, but it's not the same. So I would really love something in there to kind of bring everybody back and have those perspectives back and everything. It's just, it feels different that way. It feels more like a cohesive Rick Riordan story.
I mean, how long can he like stay away from giving us another in their perspective? Like, is he really done?
I mean, he says this third one is gonna be it in the Percy Jackson. But like also he's been dodging the huge crossover book for a long time with all the different mythologies. I think he can only dodge that for so long before people start coming at him with pitchforks. Yeah. So maybe. It would be a huge undertaking, but maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah. Cross your fingers.
Yes.
Especially since he sort of crossed over with Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's sort of a giant crossover.
Yeah.
Like, between Magnus and Annabeth. So, you know, he's already set it up.
Yeah, he's toeing the line.
Yeah.
Don't tease me like this, Rick. I can't take it. All right, well, one book series that probably everyone would have picked otherwise, well, maybe, I guess it depends on the premise, would probably be Harry Potter. We all avoided that, probably somewhat smartly given Cursed Child, but there's hope that maybe something will come to fruition later on that we're actually all happy with. We can talk about that in a little bit, but the reason why we're talking about Harry Potter this week is that on Monday, June 26th, it's actually Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone's 20th anniversary of the publish date. So we're doing a little fun time on Hypeable for that week. And I decided that, you know, maybe it's a good time to talk some Harry Potter on Book Hype. Seems appropriate, fitting with our brand and all of that. We talk about Harry Potter a lot, so I kind of wanted to go outside the box with this one. But I am really interested in where we all first heard about Harry Potter. And Kristen and I were actually talking about this the other day, and I really liked her story. So Kristen, I hope you can tell it again, because it was really great and it made me laugh.
Sure. Yeah. It's really random. It's a really random way to meet Harry Potter. I used to, back in the day, I would tune in from time to time to the Rosie O'Donnell show. I don't remember like watching it religiously, but it was one of those like Ellen that you can turn on and just have on. And the energy was so positive and happy that it didn't matter if you were having a terrible day. It just kind of livened up the afternoon after school and all that jazz. And I distinctly remember her holding up this book at her little desk and just saying, guys, you need to read this book. And it was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And she was like, I have read this with my kids. And, you know, I picked it up thinking it was a kid's book because it looks like a kid's book. But guys, it's not a kid's book. She's like, this book is amazing and it's for everyone and you really need to read it. And I, you know, I heard that on the show and I kind of, you know, said, oh yeah, okay, yeah. I was a big reader at the time. So I would have read it at some point, but I kind of put it off and didn't read the first one right away. Then I waited, you know, maybe a year or two after I heard that, but I will never forget it because of what Harry Potter came to be. Like, I distinctly remember seeing the cover and going, huh, it's a story about a boy wizard. That's interesting. Like, wouldn't have, you know, if it was any other book, it probably would have just floated to the back of my memory. But knowing what it means now, it stays there. I will never forget it.
That's so awesome. Always listen to Rosie. She knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, apparently so.
In on the ground floor. What about you, Danielle? Do you remember your first, like, memory of hearing about Harry Potter?
I do. I was in second grade, I think. It was either second or third. I was in, like, a multi-age classroom, and I had the same teacher for both second and third, so I can't remember which grade it was. But I was in this classroom, and one of my friends, Lauren, had been reading it, and she had, like, gone up to the front of the class and started talking about this book with this boy who didn't know he was a wizard, and then he was a wizard. And for some reason, I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds all right. I guess I'll pick it up. But I just remember, like, looking at the cover or, like, one of the inside flaps or something. I should have actually grabbed my book from my shelf over there to look at it. But, like, there's, like, a bed or, like, something weird. And I was like, why is this wizard, like, in a bed in this book? This is strange. And so I picked it up after that. It wasn't super exciting or anything. It was just like another kid in my class. And I just remembered to go back and pick it up later because there was like a weird image of someone in a bed on the cover or like in the flap or something.
Yeah, I happen to have my copy right here, funny enough.
Am I right?
It's on the back cover. It's like the curtains for the bed. And then it's just this like kid's hand holding a candlestick out.
So I thought it was gonna be like kind of creepy or like kind of strange. The impression that image gives, thinking back about it now, like, it doesn't fit. Like, what part of Harry Potter is that? Is that like the end when they're sneaking out of the Gryffindor common room or something? Like, it's a very strange image that did not prepare me for what the book was about, I guess.
Especially because the front is like him on his broom trying to catch the snitch. Like, it's very action-packed. And then you're just like, oh, now he's sleepy. Like, he had a hard day on the Quidditch pitch. So now he wants to go to bed.
Got to take his candle.
Yep. That's funny. My first memory of hearing about it is a couple of years after it had come out. I totally missed like the beginning of it. And it was, I think, just before book 4 came out that I actually heard about it for the first time. And it was in 8th grade. I was in homeroom and I was sitting next to my friend Sandy, and she was the one that was telling me all about this book, and she made it sound so interesting. And I was like, oh, I really want to read that. And I just remember like picking it up and just flying through it. Like, it completely just took over my entire life. And by the time the fourth one came out, I was like ready to read it. And then after that, of course, I had to wait and everything. And that was awful. But I was, when Kristen and I were talking, I had the book in my hand, and looking at the cover, it just kind of like sends me back. It's so weird because I don't necessarily know the first time that I heard about like The Lost Years of Merlin. I have no, one of my favorite series of all time, I talk about it all the time. I have no recollection of when I first started reading those books, how I heard about it. Maybe I just pulled it off the library shelf. I have no idea. But Harry Potter, maybe because it is what it has become, is so ingrained in my memory now. And just looking back at this cover, I remember all of the feelings that I had that I can't necessarily put into words, but just all the feelings I had reading this book at the time and not knowing what was coming next. And you know that saying where like you wish you could experience something for the first time again, like I really wish I could experience Harry Potter for the first time because it was so magical. And not that it's tainted now or anything, because I try to stay away from the stuff that I don't enjoy, but there's just something about not knowing what comes next in the Harry Potter series that's so exciting.
Yes, I will say that definitely for the other books in the series. But I do remember when I read the first one for the first time, I think I read the first chapter or two and then put it down for about 6 months because I did not like it.
Really?
I thought it was so boring. it might not have been 6 months. That could have been like 6 months in kid time, which also could have been like just 2 weeks.
Yeah. Who knows?
But I thought it was boring. So it's amazing to me that you said you like zoomed through it.
Yeah.
I wonder if I were to reread it for the first time again, like you were saying, with forgetting it and going through it for the first time again, if I would do the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, because experiences have changed you. You're older now, like, you know, doing that at this age and in this time, like, you could interpret this book in a completely different way, which is something I also find fascinating. But speaking of rereading too, do you guys, I mean, I feel like this is kind of a silly question, but for the first book in particular, I guess it's really not. Do you find that it's reread worthy? Because I've heard from other people that they don't necessarily go back to the first book because it sets everything up and it's not quite as exciting as, say, like the fourth or the fifth or the last one.
When I used to do my yearly rereads, because there was a portion of my life where every summer I read the series, I'm a freak. I read the series from book 7 back to book 1 or whatever the most recent book was, because I started this when there were only like 5 books. I would read it 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then read 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever I was on. I would read them backwards and then read them forwards because I was a really big dork, but I only ever read the first book once. Like, I wouldn't repeat read the first one. I would just start back over at the second one. So it's my least read book of all of them. But okay. I wouldn't say that's because it's like bad. I actually love seeing Harry like meet magic for the first time. Like, that's really fun for me. I think that's why I like the first movie more than most people do, is because seeing him like figure out the magical world and seeing all of that is really like, it's cute, it's exciting. So I would reread it. Like, I haven't in a while. I need to. But I don't think it's lost its luster for me. I still like the first book.
I put this question in here because I used to do mini rereads for movies when they were coming out, but I didn't start doing that until I think like the fifth movie. Because I wasn't rereading a lot of books up until then. But when I would do that, I don't think I would ever reread the first two. I would maybe reread the third because, like, I like the third. Sometimes I would suffer through the fourth, which I don't really care for all that much. I know a lot of people love it. But like, especially once we got to the later movies, I would just keep reading 5, 6, and 7 because I love 5. 5 is my favorite, and I would just keep reading from there. And so I think the first time that I'd actually reread the first Harry Potter book was about 2 years ago or so, because I did a whole series reread with a few people at work and we were having a book club. So I hadn't read it. I read it when I was, how old am I in second, third grade? 8? Let's say 8. I'm going to ballpark this because I don't know. So 8. And then I didn't reread the first one again until I was 23. I like it. It just didn't have anything that I could say like, yeah, I want to experience reading this again. Part of that could be because it's slightly shorter. And so there wasn't a lot of like meat given to a lot of things. Whereas I gravitated towards rereading the longer books. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but it was never like super reread worthy for me. Not that I don't like it. There just wasn't anything in there that was like, yes, I need this again.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I used to reread the fourth book all the time. Like, I would just pick that off and read it on its own as like a standalone thing because I love that book so much. And then I kind of did, I've definitely read the whole series in order. I like your going back and then forward again, Kristen. That's cool. I never did that. I just read like the whole series several times, but 4, 5, definitely I've reread those more than anything else. But I do like the first book a lot. I like being introduced, like you were saying, Kristen, being introduced to that and seeing Harry experience magic for the first time. And also now that the whole series is over, and even now that we know more than we did when the series first ended, going back and rereading things, you kind of look at it differently. So I will always say any of the Harry Potter books are worthy of a reread, even 6, which is not my favorite, although I have come to appreciate far more than I did when it first came out. I was really mad when it first came out. But I think that this book is a good book to jump into, and I'm actually going to be rereading this for some of our Harry Potter stuff that we have going on next week. So maybe next time we have another episode out, I'll regale you guys with anything that anything new that I noticed or any new feelings that I came across, because it's always interesting. It's Harry Potter. There's so much to look at there, and I think that's why so many people reread it so often.
And there are a lot of things that you might notice as an adult that you didn't as a kid. I can't point to anything in specific, but
Ron's constant tendency to like flick people off. Like, as a child, I never caught on to it, but like in the book, she references like him gesturing to his brother.
Rude gestures.
Yeah. Like, I definitely didn't read into that, but now as an adult, I'm like, oh yeah, he's totally flicking off the twins right now.
Exactly. And the fact that Ron is actually smarter than a lot of people give him credit for, and he's actually super smart in the first book, that was the thing that I noticed on my reread as an adult. It was great. So it's really interesting to see what you pick out now versus what mm-hmm. you picked out before.
Yeah. We're trying out some weird things for this week coming up. And one of the things I'm going to be looking at is like all the little background characters, like somebody we literally meet for like two lines and then we never see in the entire series again. It's like watching the movies and not paying attention to what's happening right in front of you, but looking at the background and seeing all the things that they set up that is meant to give you an atmosphere, but isn't meant to be important enough to like, oh, let's get a close up on this because it's going to come back at the end of the movie. No, it's just there to kind of fill in this world. And sometimes that can tell you just as much about the book or the movie as what's actually going on screen. So I always like to do that. Okay, so now we have a game to play. We're going to do a quote quiz. And I've got 10 quotes here from various characters in the first Harry Potter book. And I'm going to have you guys guess who said it. Some of them are going to be easy. Some of them are going to be a little tricky. And some of them might be impossible. But I try not to go like too out of the norm. So I'm going to read the quote. And then whoever knows it first, feel free to shout it out. And you can deliberate for a while if you want to. We're just going to see how this goes. And some people will repeat. So there is a quote from somebody more than once.
Some characters have more than one quote in your quiz.
Yes. Thank you.
Uh-huh. I got you. Bring it on.
Okay. Right. Here's the first one. The truth. It is a beautiful and terrible thing and should therefore be treated with great caution.
Sounds like Dumbledore, but it's probably not.
But it's probably not. Karen, I thought we were going to start off with a softball here.
Like, no, come on. No.
Tee it up here.
Oh, come on.
It sounds like Dumbledore.
Is it Quirrell?
Kristen is right. It is Albus Dumbledore.
Yes. It just sounds very Dumbledorean.
It does. I was trying to think like not Dumbledore, but he was the one I'm going back to.
All right, number two. I wasn't looking at its feet. I was too busy with its heads.
Ron.
Yeah, I think it's Ron.
It is Harry Potter.
Is it really?
It is. They changed it in the movie.
That's right. That's one of the ones they changed.
That's probably why. I told you there were
some trick ones.
Yeah. I'm a bit preoccupied with its heads.
Yeah.
I was thinking Harry, and then I was like, no, I know Ron was smarter, but maybe he said something dumb. But no, all of the dumb quotes in the book are not Ron. P.S.A. Harry. I will die on my Ron Weasley hill, I swear.
All right, number three. Yes, yes, it's all very sad, but get a grip on yourself, Hagrid, or we'll be found.
I feel like I know this.
Same here, and I'm just... I'm also trying to place exactly where in the first book this is, and I keep thinking of instances in like the fourth, and I'm like, no, we're thinking Sorcerer's Stone here. Do not get distracted.
Can I ask you to read it again?
Yes, of course. Yes, yes, it's all very sad, but get a grip on yourself, Hagrid, or we'll be found.
Why is Hagrid being found?
That's my question. Is it Bane? No. Yeah, Bane? Is he the nice centaur?
No.
He's the mean one.
Mm-hmm. The mean one.
It's the one that teaches...
The one that gets ousted later.
Divination. Yeah. The one who...
Ferenc? Ferenc? That guy?
It is not.
Aww.
It is Minerva McGonagall.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And where were they hiding?
Hagrid was blubbering when they first brought Harry to the doorstep.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. That does happen in the first book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely.
All right, number four. Shut up, I'm trying to remember how to kill it.
Damn, we're not doing so well, Kristen.
No, these are so hard. I challenge the world to do better, though.
I'm trying to remember how to kill it. What are they killing?
Is it Hermione?
Yeah, I'm going to double Kristen. We'll say
like
Hermione.
Maybe with the devil snare?
It is Hermione.
Hooray! High five, Kristen.
Long distance high five.
Yeah. I love the sound effect. Like, for a second, I was like, wait a second. We're not in the same room.
I'm terrible with high fives, and I couldn't even high five myself.
All right, we're on number five now. You'd be stiff if you'd been sitting on a brick wall all day.
What?
Yep, that's pretty much what I'm thinking at this point. God, I need to reread this book.
Apparently, I didn't absorb anything 3 years ago. Oh, okay. Is someone sitting on a brick wall because they're in a portrait?
No. No, sorry.
That was a really good theory.
It was a good theory.
I was there. I was with you. Okay. Who is sitting on a brick wall and why? I don't even have a guess. I'm terrible.
I'm just going to throw out Malfoy.
It sounds whiny. Minerva McGonagall again.
Oh, the cat.
The cat.
She sat on the wall as a cat waiting for...
Yes.
I keep forgetting about the beginning of Harry Potter.
I'm too busy thinking about Hogwarts and, like, Diagon Alley and, like, trying to find... Yeah.
I forgot about Diagon Alley, too. So this is great.
Like, out of context, you're like, I have no memory of that. And as soon as you get the context, you're like, I know exactly when that took place.
Yep. I can picture it. Yeah, there it is.
So they're kind of hard. All right, number six. I'm worth 12 of you, Malfoy.
I mean... I really want to say Ron.
Yeah, they sound like fighting words.
It would make sense for it to be a Weasley, especially with the way he puts them down when they first meet Harry and all that.
What do you think, Danielle?
Hermione doesn't stick up for herself, and Harry isn't that arrogant to say that, I don't think. Man, if I get this wrong, I'm going to be so sad, but I'm going to go with my Wan.
It was Neville Longbottom.
Oh, well, he is worth 12 of Malfoy.
So. He totally is.
Neville sticks up for himself?
Yeah.
He does that a lot in the first book.
And then subsequently gets torn down.
Then he regresses has a really tough time.
This is part of the reason why I've actually been on, like, a Harry Potter movie. Oh, God, not a diet, but, like, I haven't watched any Harry Potter movies at all in, like, a year. Or two, because I'm trying to, like, detox from them and get more of the book stuff back. So, like, it surprises me when Neville sticks up for himself, because all I can think about is, like, movie Neville.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point, too, because...
Detox, that's the word.
Yeah, and I like the movies. They're fine. They're not great. Over the years, I think I've appreciated them less just because... I, in hindsight, like, can see the differences with the books and everything, but you bring up a really good point, is, like, the movies, first of all, are visual, so remembering them is a little bit easier than, like, all this text that we've read over the span of, you know, quite a long time, and it really sucks sometimes, because when I take Harry Potter quizzes or something, the movies mess me up, and it makes me so angry, because I love the books so much more, but that the movies are just ingrained in my head.
And they're on all the time. Yeah. Like, every weekend is Harry Potter weekend. So do we even need to name it Harry Potter weekend anymore?
Yeah. It's just the weekend.
It's just weekend.
Yep. All right. This is number 7 out of 10. We've got, have you gone mad? Are you a witch or not?
Oh, that is completely wrong.
I mean, yeah. I'll say Harry just to hedge our bets.
Danielle, you are correct. It was Ron Weasley.
I mean, I don't know if you have the context for it, but is that when they're, like, dealing with the devil's snare?
She wants to light a fire, and she's like, but there are no sticks. There's no wood. Yeah. And he's like, are you kidding me? I love that part.
Yeah,
that's completely wrong. That's my one.
All right, number 8. Malfoy's got detention. I could sing.
That sounds like Harry.
I mean, yeah. Trying to think if anyone else could. Okay, go ahead.
It's Hermione Granger.
All right.
And then Harry replies with, please don't.
I was trying to think if anyone else would really celebrate his demise. Harry is the obvious one, but,
Hermione, she's got her reasons.
I think it's the singing that threw me off. Like, Hermione doesn't sound like someone who can say, like, they can sing. But Harry is just enough of an outcast where he says weird things sometimes.
Well, I mean, Hermione can't sing. Or wait, Hermione can't draw. That's what it was. Hermione damn that joke. That joke was so good.
Lupin can't sing. That's Hermione true, can't draw.
Yeah. All right, number 9. Closing in. Fear of a name increases fear of the thing itself.
Shoot, the movie is messing me up.
I know who says it in the movie.
Hermione says it in the movie, right?
Yep.
Yes. I will tell you that is not correct for the book one.
Okay. Is it a parent? Can I ask questions?
Do I get lifelines?
You are each other's lifeline. That's all you get. Okay.
Let's figure this out. Repeat the quote so I have a good fresh place to start.
Fear of a name increases fear of the thing itself.
Okay.
Dumbledore isn't afraid to say the name. Is there anybody else who is not afraid to say the name, if we're looking at this logically? Is McGonagall afraid to say the name? I don't remember.
I think in mixed company, I think she tends to defer to he who must not be named, but she doesn't refer to him very much, like that I remember. So I would say she'd be game for saying the name, especially around Dumbledore.
I mean, those your guesses?
Can we guess two and split the difference?
Sure.
McGonagall's definitely one. The other,
I think, might be Dumbledore.
Yeah. All right.
Like in one of his like speeches to Harry, maybe towards the end even.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You are correct. It's Albus Dumbledore.
Ooh, nice job.
Yep. All right. And for our final one, the library just before the holidays. Bit keen, aren't you?
That makes me want to. Okay. The way you said it makes me think Hagrid.
Yeah. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Aren't you?
It just makes me think Hagrid. But it also, like, the sentiment is something that Harry or Ron would say in an instant. Especially since she's, you know, sending them in there.
All right. What's your final thought?
I'm going to stick with Hagrid. It's probably wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I'll go with Harry, although my heart is kind of with Hagrid.
Trust your heart. It is Rubius Hagrid.
Yeah. You did all right.
Good job, Kristen.
We were in the game for a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah. You were close. It's fun. Out of context, you know. So. All right. Something else a little bit off the wall. I really wanted to do this together on air just because I thought it would be kind of fun. We're going to take a Harry Potter character personality quiz, and we will link to it in the show notes so that you guys can take it as well. But I figured we'll just go through the questions together. There's not too many of them, and see what everyone picked and then see who we end up as. Danielle's taken this, although she said maybe she won't get the same person this time around. Who knows? I haven't taken it, so I have no idea who we're going to end up with. Total surprise.
I don't think I've taken it either, so this will be fresh and new.
Yes. And okay, and all of you guys, it all starts off with pick a movie for you guys, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we're definitely on the same page here. So we're going to pick a movie. The options are The Parent Trap, The Silence of the Lambs, Mean Girls, The Wolf of Wall Street, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, The King's Speech, Easy Rider, Brokeback Mountain, and An Education. I'm going to go with Silence of the Lambs.
I am going with The Parent Trap.
I'm going with Mean Girls.
Nice. Which object do you most desire? The Elder Wand, the Philosopher's Stone, the Mirror of Erised, a Firebolt, the Marauder's Map, a Deluminator, the Resurrection Stone, the Cloak of Invisibility, or ATV? I think I gotta go with a Firebolt.
That's mine too. I want to fly in my lifetime.
Yeah. See, this is really hard.
There's a lot of good ones here.
I would love to have the Marauder's Map because I'm a people watcher. And so being able to just watch like what people are doing any given day, I would be Harry in the sixth book watching the map looking for Malfoy. Like that that would be me. I'd be sitting in my room just watching people move around. And like,
if it makes your decision any easier, that's what I pegged you as picking anyway.
Well, it's either that or the Cloak of Invisibility, because it would be really cool to just be able to, like,
same thing,
not have to do my hair every day and just throw the invisibility cloak on and, like, go to work and sit there and do my work, and people be like, why is her computer moving? Like, it would be really ridiculous. I'm going to pick the Marauder's Map just because it sounds like more fun today.
What is your favorite food? Shepherd's pie, chicken wings, chocolate eclair, steak tartare, salad, cheese, cotton candy, caviar, or fish and chips? Oh, they
None
make
of
me
these
pick
are my
between
favorite.
Chicken wings and cheese. How am I
cheese.
Supposed to do this?
Cheese is important. Cheese is my pick.
I'm going with chicken wings.
Oh, no. I think I'm going with chicken wings.
All I can see is, like, Ron eating those drumsticks.
Double-fisting the drumsticks.
Heck yeah!
All right, pick a drink. Gin and tonic, tea, Hims, beer, Bloody Mary, milk, tequila, whiskey, old-fashioned. I do bad things on tequila.
Going with beer. Stick with the beer.
Oh, no. This is harder than I thought it would be. I did try an old-fashioned, and I quite liked it. But I think when it comes down to it, I gotta go with tea. Tea's a comfort. Yeah.
Tea's good.
All right, pick a song. Get Lucky, Daft Punk. Flawless, Beyonce. Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. Mr. Tambourine Man, Bob Dylan. Slim Shady, Eminem!
Oh,
sorry.
Jesus.
I do not read that. It's hilarious.
I knew this was coming.
Sorry, that was so embarrassing. I'm sorry. I told you guys I didn't read this before.
For anyone who doesn't know, Karen is obsessed with Eminem.
I'm pretty sure we've talked about it before, but just in case.
Sure. Oh my God.
Okay. I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston. Mean, Taylor Swift. Creep, Radiohead, or Mirrors, Justin Timberlake.
Get Lucky, Daft Punk.
Nice.
I'm going with Mean by Taylor Swift. I really like that song.
Karen, which one are you going for?
I think I'm going to go with Whitney Houston, actually. She's secretly my favorite. No, definitely Slim Shady Eminem.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, that's so weird.
I clicked it before I even finished reading the rest of them. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, where would you like to hang out? The Three Broomsticks, Madame Puttyfoot's Tea Shop, Borgin and Burke's, Quality Quidditch Supplies, Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, or The Shrieking Shack?
Three Broomsticks.
Yeah, that's my choice too.
I want to go with Weasley's Wizard Wheezes.
It's a solid option.
How would you spend your ideal weekend? In bed with a book, getting drunk with your friends, hanging with your family, partying at a fancy club, playing a sport, on a date with your partner, watching TV at home, hiking, alone at a dive bar.
Can't I hiking. Split my time between a bed and, or reading a book in bed and watching TV? That would be the perfect weekend.
I want to split my time between in bed with a book and getting drunk with my friends.
Hey. I'm going to take in bed with a book. I'm going for it.
I'm going to get drunk with my friends.
You go, yes. Karen. I'm going hiking.
Nice. Okay. Your ideal partner is someone who values your intelligence, is really protective, inspires you, is family-oriented, idolizes you, hates the same things as you, you're comfortable with, gives you space, doesn't exist. I'm going to go with values your intelligence.
Think I like inspires you.
And I'm going with someone I'm comfortable with.
Awesome.
Very cool.
I really like the doesn't exist one.
Very sad. Like your ideal person really just sad. Doesn't exist.
Yeah. All right. Pick a potion. I can never say this right. Felix? Felicia?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Liquid luck. Amortentia? Love potion. The draft? Drought.
Mm-hmm.
Draft.
Okay, thanks. Of peace. Wit sharpening potion, polyjuice potion, strengthening solution.
Question.
Yes.
Is the peace one the one where you like die?
Yeah. Doesn't it like then, put you to sleep forever?
Draft of Living Death isn't, yeah.
Is that what that is? Because I don't remember.
Unless it actually, like, I know they call that one Draft of Living Death.
Yeah.
So maybe this is literally just like peace. Because the rest of them are all positive. Like, I wouldn't have thought.
Oh, no. The Draft of Peace is a potion which relieves anxiety and agitation. Guys, I'm picking that one.
Oh.
Well, I'm taking Felix Felice's, or however you say it.
Yeah.
Because I need a little luck.
Mm-hmm.
Go play the lottery.
I'm going to go with the strengthening solution, I think.
Nice.
My dream is to be like a Black Widow, so.
That's awesome.
Fabulous.
What do you prefer reading? Gawker, The Guardian, The New Yorker, Rolling Stone, Village Voice, The Onion, Sports Illustrated, BuzzFeed, New York Post. Where's Hypeable?
I was going to say, where's Hypeable? Or Entertainment Weekly, because I would pick either of those over most of these.
I like that BuzzFeed includes itself on its own list.
Honest, like, I'm picking BuzzFeed because their stuff is fun. I know it's not like highbrow, but I like it. It entertains me.
That's what I was going to pick too.
Oh, good. Now I don't feel so bad. Okay. Yay.
I love a good listicle, and let's just face it, they do them better than most of the internet. So.
They do. They have patented the listicle.
Yeah.
I'm gonna branch out on this one. I think I'm going to go for The Onion.
Nice.
Okay, cool.
Because I read enough, like, actual news all day, so I feel like The Onion is a good palate cleanser, and I enjoy it. So
yeah,
solid
choice. That would be my second choice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pick a magical creature: unicorn, phoenix, owl, hippogriff, crumplehorn, snorkak, basilisk, centaur, poltergeist, pygmy, puff.
Hippogriff.
Oh, totally gonna go with a phoenix.
I want my favorites. None of my magical creatures are in here.
Which ones are yours?
I love the Arumpent a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have mad love for that thing. It's so cute. Anyway, I'm going to pick Phoenix because they don't really die. So I wouldn't have to be sad.
That's true. That's true.
It would be all upside.
Mm-hmm. Pick a TV show. Girls, Game of Thrones, Dexter, Entourage, New Girl, Sherlock, Two and a Half Men, Brothers and Sisters, or Breaking Bad.
I don't like any of these.
Yeah, some of these are kind of weird. Some of these are old. Brothers and Sisters?
Like, Dexter?
Seriously? That's a bit of an old one. I'm going to go with Sherlock.
Me too. I would pick Game of Thrones, but it's so sad. And also, I'd probably, get somebody really bad.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go New Girl.
Nice.
I did enjoy that when I was watching it.
Okay, here we go. Our results are in. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, who'd you get?
I got, drum roll, Ron Weasley.
What?
You're full of self-doubt, but you shouldn't be because you've proved yourself time and again. You're very easygoing, funny, and fiercely loyal to friends and family. I like it.
Yay.
I'm totally on board being Ron.
Spoiler alert, I also got Ron Weasley.
I got Ginny Weasley.
Aww.
And the blurb says, people might underestimate you, but you're stronger than you appear. You're stubborn, witty, adventurous, and always up for a challenge.
Book Ginny was the bomb.
Book Ginny was pretty awesome.
Is that who you got the first time?
No, actually, the first time I got Neville.
Ooh.
Which I actually see the blurb here for. Neville's is, you're awkward and clumsy and hate being the center of attention, but you're brave and big-hearted, and people can always trust you to help them out in a bad situation.
See, whenever anybody asks me what house I'm in and I tell them Gryffindor and they give me that funny look, I just say Neville Longbottom. They go, oh, yeah, I can see that. So I'm surprised I didn't get Neville. But, you're all Gryffindors.
Yeah.
There aren't that many Ravenclaws, let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, there's in the story.
And she's not a good representative, I don't think.
Yeah, she's a very special case. Yes.
She is. Okay, I was a little worried about us not having enough stuff to talk about this episode, but leave it to Harry Potter for us to kind of go off on tangents. But it was a really good discussion. I want to wrap up our Harry Potter discussion with the fact that there is definitely going to be more Harry Potter in our future. It's kind of inevitable at this point, especially with Fantastic Beasts and everything else that's coming out. And I want to know, you know, let's just embrace it. I know we're not always going to like everything that comes out, but what would you actually want? What is your ideal next Harry Potter project that you want in your hands?
I mean, I guess the encyclopedia, but as long as it doesn't like introduce completely new ideas, like some of the stuff JK has been doing on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like Fantastic Beasts charmed me more than I thought it would. And I did enjoy it, but I don't want any more narrative stuff.
Okay.
So I would just like the encyclopedia and to dig in like details we've kind of already seen and get some more backstory that way.
I agree. Especially of the things you wrote on here. And the encyclopedia is the thing that stands out most. But I actually would like some more narrative stuff, but I think we can close the book on telling Harry's story. Like, I'd love to see her either take another student who attends Hogwarts, you know, X years in the future, and there's all, you know, every time an evil is vanquished, another evil steps up to take its place. So I can't imagine that they live in peace forever. Like, there's going to be another threat to the wizarding world. And I would love to see her start fresh and, yeah, maybe reference like Neville teaching or somebody popping up here and there where we remember them. But it would give her a whole new like place to tell more story. And I would love to read more about Hogwarts because I think there's still a lot of mystery left in Hogwarts for us to learn. But through totally new eyes, with a, you know, with characters that are not at all related to the Potters, I would love more narrative from this world, though.
I don't mind more narrative stories. I have very little interest in going forward. I think part of it is that I'm never going to fear another character like I fear Voldemort. And I mean, maybe she can come up with something, but even if I do find this other monster or villain scary than Voldemort, it would kind of take away what Voldemort is. And I think he's a fantastic villain. So I kind of want to keep that the way that it is. That being said, I would love to go back. I know a lot of people like this idea. I really want to learn more about the Marauders. I think that would be really cool.
I would be down for that. As long as they like, because everybody in the books now kind of prop up James Potter. Mm-hmm. And I think he was like a big douchebag. So like if we could see like the actual thing like that with the Marauders, I would love that. Because some of the video stuff that people have done, like the shorts and stuff have been really great. So mm-hmm. I will concede to that, like that narrative I would do.
And I'd love to see like Voldemort's uprising and what it was like to be a part of the Order of the Phoenix in the beginning and how those friends kind of went from students and like normal people to these like underground heroes and all of that. I mean, we get it in flashbacks, but to be told that story from their perspective would be so fascinating to me. And I think I would also read a story about the Founders, because I find them really interesting in that history and the fact that they started the school and the way that they got along or didn't get along, all of that I would be interested in, because I love the idea of a history of magic and a history of Hogwarts and what this school actually is and the fact that it has like a personality of its own. Seeing how that develops would be really cool.
I can definitely sign on for something like that too, especially if she like wrote it from a fifth perspective, like if someone else was present while they were founding Hogwarts, even if it was like someone sitting in on meetings to like take minutes, you know, taking what I mean, like you know what I mean though, like a person who's there to see it all. And who
God, it could be from the hat's perspective and the whole thing could be in verse.
There you go. Done. Somebody write that, aka JK.
Oh God.
That that would be intense.
Like, I just think that would be really cool. I'd like to read anything from their perspective too, but I think it'd be really cool to see them and how they interact with each other through somebody else's eyes.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about a possible Harry Potter television show? How come?
I think it was like you were saying, like, I don't, we've closed the book on Harry Potter. Are we talking about like a Harry, like character? Yes. Harry Potter?
Yes.
Yeah.
His story.
We've already done it. We've already gone through it, both in book and movie form. Like, if they were to do a TV show, I would prefer to go Kristen's route and have it from the perspective of another character who we haven't met yet, where all of these things are kind of going on. So, like, every once in a while, we'd see, like, Ron running through the frame or, like, doing something.
So, like, but Puffs.
I don't know. Is that, like, Puffs?
Yeah, I actually saw Puffs.
You saw it.
Yeah, when I was in New York recently, and it's Harry Potter's story as told from the Hufflepuff point of view, and you don't, like, he and all of the other ones, like, Harry's in it, the other ones, Ron is just, like, a mop with red, like, strings instead of white. That's no. All he, yes. It's great, though. It's great. It's very funny, but it's told from their point of view, and, you know, they kind of never really know what's going on until near the end, and but it's an interesting way to see the Harry Potter story from somebody who is not necessarily affected by it in the beginning, but of course it brings the whole wizarding world into the war. So eventually there's going to be casualties and that sort of thing.
Or like certain events without the stakes to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would like to see a Quidditch match without some sort of like weird stakes to it, or without like the emotional beat of like Harry. I'd like to just see like a Quidditch match and how people react to that sort of stuff, or like what it was like for normal people when there was a troll in the dungeon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, going to bed now.
Yeah. Bye. Someone else will take care of it.
Must be Tuesday.
Or like I didn't get to finish my candy, man. You know. I don't know. So that stuff I would deem television worthy, but I don't think I'd want to see like the HP quite yet.
So because, more like a spin-off kind of thing.
Yeah. Like a behind the scenes, like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, but for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That is what I would like.
If they were going to tell Harry's story again on TV, I think it would be fun to see it as an animated series. And rather than, like, literally retelling Sorcerer's Stone through, you know, Deathly Hallows, like, it would be nice to see a year in the life of Harry. So if they start with Sorcerer's Stone, like, give us more than just, you know, all of the craziness that happened. Because he lived every day, and we didn't necessarily see every day. So it would be really cool to see him on, you know, some of those early trips, like just going to class and the things that happen in magic class and, you know, all that stuff. Like, it would be neat to see just him being a kid, because in between all of the Voldemort stuff, I'm sure he had moments where he got to be a kid. And so that, if they were going to do Harry's story, that would be kind of cool. But if I was doing like live action stuff, I would kill to see like the Marauder story be an HBO series or something.
Damn,
that would be so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, really cool. But yeah, as far as Harry's goes, I'm with you on the, we don't need another rehashing of his life in live action like we've seen before.
I'm really of two minds about this, because on the one hand, I absolutely agree with you guys. I think that not only has it been done, but it's been done so recently that, like, we all have our vision of who Harry, Hermione, and Ron are in our heads. If they recast, which obviously they would, and we grew up with another set of the trio, it would just be weird. It's too soon. On the other hand, I love the idea of doing it as a television series, because sometimes those movies, especially the fourth one, cuts out so many things that we wanted to see on screen. And with a television show, you just have more time. So part of me is like, yes, give me a television show, because then I could finally see what it would be like to have this entire book on screen with very few changes. But on the other hand, I think we would all get really sick of Harry Potter if this did happen.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Game of Thrones. People kind of got a little tired in the middle. I mean, it's exciting now because nobody knows what's happening.
Right.
But, like, the rehashing and everybody, you know, I think there was a little interest lost there in the middle. And it's finally coming back around. I could, yeah, I mean.
Although they are planning, like, 4 spinoffs, so.
I know, I was going to say.
Yeah. And then the other idea that I had was an actual Harry Potter virtual reality experience. I looked this up briefly, and there are a couple of things where, like, you can kind of do something like this, I think. But I was thinking back to when I first went to Florida and went to the Wizarding World and what it was like to go on the ride where it is, like, virtual, or you had, like, the screens and things were actually popping out at you and you felt like you were flying because you were on the roller coaster and like the Quidditch pitch was beneath you. I cried on that ride because it felt so real and it felt like you were part of the story. And just imagine if you could be set up in this giant room where you could live the first book or something like that. I mean, it'd be terrifying in places, but it would be so fun. And to be able to do something interactive like that, I know we're not quite there yet with technology, but we're getting close. And I'm just thinking of like Ready Player One, where you have the virtual simulations and it's like being in that world. I would murder somebody to do that and hope I don't get caught if I actually get to experience it.
I'm now going to lock my door.
Wouldn't that be cool though?
Yeah. It would. Like, I think it would be a lot of fun to step in, you know, not step into Hermione's shoes, but, like, be there as all of this is going on and watching them do all this. Like, that would be really cool. Better than a movie where you're being told the narrative, like, being able to experience it all and, you know, take part in all of the little, you know, tricks at the end of Sorcerer's Stone where you're standing on a chessboard or that. Like, that would be kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right, so we're going to wrap up this episode with a little bit of news, which I think I'd like to do week to week from now on because we get stuff coming in all the time and it's fun to do the news episodes, but this way we stay a little bit more on top of it and we can discuss it as it's sort of recent news. And I figured this was also a good way to segue into our first story, is that, oh my God, you guys, there are 2 Harry Potters. This story has been blowing up all over the place, and I really loved the way that Andrew wrote this up on Hypeable, actually, because he was ridiculous about it, and I think it's the best way to attack something like this. JKR said that there are 2 Harry Potters in that somebody in Harry's family tree was named Henry, and they nicknamed him Harry. It was Harry's great-grandfather, so therefore, 2 Harry Potters exist, and all of these places, BuzzFeed included, and I think it was literally everybody. The Sun did one, and I want to say Mashable, and there was like Teen Vogue. They're all saying, oh my God, J.K. Rowling reveals there are 2 Harry Potters, and we're in total shock, and we're totally dead, and fans can't cope. And
we don't know how to feel, and we're paralyzed.
Yeah, and so he wrote, his headline was, J.K. Rowling just revealed there are 2 Harry Potters and we're in complete, total, utter, endless, super shock. And he, like, screenshotted all of these articles and put headlines on them. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Our childhood was a lie. And it was really great. So I just had to bring that up for
me. It's the most Andrew Sims an article has ever been.
Right?
And it's beautiful. Like, it is really well done. Because this news is not shocking, and people who say they're shocked are crazy, because it's not.
No, it's not. It's literally
a fun
to sell headlines. Yeah, and I mean, the reason why they did it the way they did was it's clickbait. So,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Anyway.
Good times.
But moving away from Harry Potter to another huge YA author, John Green has finally unveiled the title of his next book. It's called Turtles All the Way Down. It arrives this October. This is pretty exciting because he's been writing this book for several years, and I'm a little bit behind on my Vlogbrothers videos, but I know he recently said that, like, he's kind of gone off social media for a while, and he was getting this feeling where he finally felt like it's cementing itself into a real book. And so I got excited listening to that. This episode that I was listening to is like from last year. So of course, then this news breaks and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm definitely behind on it. But it's cool. Turtles All the Way Down begins with a fugitive billionaire and a cash reward. It is about lifelong friendship, the intimacy of an unexpected reunion, Star Wars fan fiction, and Tuatara. I don't know what that is. But at its heart is Aza Holmes, a young woman navigating daily existence within the ever-tightening spiral of her own thoughts. And the big thing about this was John Green says, this is my first attempt to write directly about the kind of mental illness that has affected my life since childhood. So while the story is fictional, it is also quite personal. So what do you guys think of the title, first of all, because it's quite a unique title. And do you guys think you'll be picking this up to read?
So I had never heard the phrase Turtles All the Way Down before I saw this headline the other day. And then I think I heard it yesterday or the day before in something that I was watching. And really? It's a phrase. It's not just like a random group of words that John Green. Yeah. I just looked it up to like double check. And so like I could sound smart on the podcast. And so Turtles All the Way Down is, here's the high level. Turtles All the Way Down is an expression of the infamous regress problem in cosmology posed by the unmoved mover paradox.
Basically, that sounds like a John Green novel.
So have you heard the sort of anecdote, metaphor, sort of creation story that Earth is actually flat and supported on the back of like a turtle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the part of that is that, so it's supported on the back of the world turtle, which itself is propped up by a column of turtles. And then when questioning what the final turtle might be standing on all the way at the bottom, the anecdote just says like, it is turtles all the way down.
Oh,
interesting.
I quite like that actually.
Yeah. So I like that as well. And I find it really strange that I had never heard that phrase, and then I heard it twice within the last like 48, 72 hours, something like that. So I think it'll be really interesting. I didn't realize that his last book was The Fault in Our Stars for some reason, and I've been hearing him so often that I thought he had put out something.
Yeah, it's because Paper Towns came out after that, and like, yeah, he's still been in the news a lot.
Yeah, I like John Green's enthusiasm and I like him as a person, but his books have never really landed with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I might sit out a little bit and see how this one does and like what people have to say about it first before going out and grabbing a copy.
That's fair.
Because like I did not like The Fault in Our Stars very much. Like it didn't affect me like it affected other people. So I just might not be his audience, which is totally fine.
Okay.
But the title makes it sound interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Kristen?
The only John Green book I've read is The Fault in Our Stars.
Same. So
I don't really know his world. Like I like The Fault in Our Stars. I was bawling like a baby. I am basically the target audience for a book like that. Despite the fact that it's made for YA, you know, like it's made for people a lot younger than me. It's still the kind of story I read all the time. So yeah, like it broke me, as you know, you would assume, but I liked how he wrote that story and I've wanted to read more of his stuff. I just haven't had time yet. So
mm-hmm.
I would probably pick this up, probably won't buy it first. Like I'll probably wait till it shows up at the library and read it that way first. And if I really love it, then I'll go buy a copy. But I'm definitely interested. And I, knowing now what I do about Turtles All the Way Down and what it means,
yeah,
it definitely has more interest. Like I thought the title seemed really random and I was like, what is this? Like, what is it about turtles? But now, you know, now that I understand the context of the phrase, it definitely intrigues me even more.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I've only ever read The Fault in Our Stars as well. I own several of his other books and have not yet gotten to them, of course. I just collect books with like intention to read them. I have good intentions. I just have poor follow through.
And there's so many coming out all the time.
You should just like take pictures and I'll just post all your bookshelves on the internet.
Oh my, like, okay.
This is real.
It's really sad and people will judge me. I started double stacking them because I don't have enough room. I need another bookshelf already. We just got a new one too. Anyway,
sorry.
I think that I would like to read this, but to be honest with myself, I probably won't do it right away unless I have to do it for Hypable, and then it will get done right away. But otherwise, I think it sounds interesting, and I am extremely invested in both John and Hank as YouTube personalities. Extremely invested. I've watched every single Vlogbrother video that they've put out over the last literally 10 years, except for the last couple of months because I have to catch up. But I would like to read this story, if only to kind of get a little bit better of a glimpse into John and what he's gone through. I mean, he said it's fictional, but it's also personal. So that kind of means a lot to me as a fan of him in Vlogbrothers. So there's a good chance that I'll probably pick this. All right, speaking of new stories, though, Diana Gabaldon penned some new Outlander short stories. The book is called Seven Stones to Stand or Fall, and I believe some of these stories have been out before, but now this is kind of collected in one place, and there are, I think, two new stories in this. We've got a review of it up on Hypable. Laura did that. Laura is a huge fan of the books and the television show. And she did a really good job of kind of explaining where it came from and what the significance is of some of the stories. So definitely check that out. Neither one of you guys are really into Outlander, are you?
No, I would like to read it eventually, but I have not and don't really know anything about it. Okay. Like, I know very little.
What about you, Danielle?
I know that it probably should be up my alley. But I have not gotten to it, neither the books nor the show.
I've
heard good things about both. But.
Yeah, I watched the first season or most of the first season of the show, but it's very slow. It's Game of Thrones in that way, except Game of Thrones, at least there are people dying all the time, so like that keeps me interested. I know, I swear I'm not a psychopath, but... Kristen hasn't died yet, and I've lived with her for, like, almost 2 years, so it's fine.
That's how we're judging whether you're a psycho or not.
Well, all serial killers have to have a friend, right? That was not the right thing to say. but no, really, it was just a little slow for me, even though it is very, very good. So I think maybe it's something I would binge at some point, because I'm just really not patient, but... It's definitely high quality. And then our last bit of news is about the Grenfell fire, actually. And Kristen, I know you wrote up this story, so I think you'll be able to tell it a little bit better than I will.
Yeah, sure. I kind of stumbled across this on Twitter because a couple of authors that I know of that I follow donated to the auction. So a large group of authors, I think there are more than 300 lots right now up for auction. They all banded together to put some things up for auction on one site to raise money for the victims of the Grenfell fire, for the families affected, for anything, you know, surrounding that. All the proceeds are going to the British Red Cross fund that specifically is being targeted for, you know, the Grenfell fire victims. Some of the authors that have contributed are Becky Albertalli, Gail Foreman, Cami Garcia, Marie Lou, Marissa Meyer, and I've kind of scrolled through the Twitter feed to see if anybody else has added things. And Lauren Graham donated 5 signed copies of Talking as Fast as I Can, which is her, I believe, autobiography about her time with like Gilmore Girls and all of that. And then I just saw like a few minutes ago that Edgar Wright donated a signed poster from Baby Driver to the auction as well. I believe the auction ends Tuesday night at midnight. So by the time you guys get this, you may still be able to bid on some of these items if you're really excited. But in addition to like signed books and stuff, a lot of the authors are offering like experiences and things. Like some of them were offering the chance to be a character in one of their books. Some of them are offering like Skype talks or school visits. There's a whole lot of stuff, like whole manuscripts, like appraisals and stuff. Like if you're writing a manuscript and you want an author to look at it, they're offering that kind of stuff too. So it's crazy, but it's just really nice to see the community come together and say, we know that these people need help and we are here to do what we can. And just a really nice gesture and really nice to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. And obviously going to a great cause. So if you get to this in time and you're excited, please consider donating. And you know what, even after that ends, even if you don't get anything out of it, please consider donating to anything to do with this or, you know, obviously many of the tragedies that have been going on lately, because people could really use our help. Mm-hmm. So not to end that on a somber note, but I guess that's what we're going to be doing. Thank you again, everybody, for listening to another episode of Book Hype. Hey, this is two in a row. We're doing great.
Yeah.
Hopefully next week we will be coming out with another one. And, you know, fun fact, Kristen and I will be seeing Danielle in a little bit, in about a week or yes. a little over yeah. a week.
Yeah. Over a week.
So that is all very exciting. We are going to the Indie PopCon. There might be book stuff there. There's some book stuff there.
So if you're in the Indianapolis area.
Yeah, maybe we can incorporate it into Book Hype at some point. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
yeah.
Either way, getting to see Danielle is always exciting.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
And Great. Thank you for coming on, Danielle. And thank you for all of your help with Facebook.
Thank you for having me and letting me have control of something.
Of course.
Taking a risk.
Nah, I have faith in you. All right. Well, again, don't really know what's coming up next. We're kind of in limbo right now as we figure all of that out, but I'm sure it'll be pretty exciting. Again, we do have some author interviews that we will hopefully be releasing sometime soon, but it might have to be staggered over a couple of months, but that is definitely something you can look forward to, which is going to be pretty exciting. And in the meantime, again, please hit us up on Twitter at BookHype, facebook.com/hypeablebooks, and on Goodreads as Hypeable Books. And until then, I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Danielle.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm so full of tacos.
You sound like you're complaining.
I am.
She made them and they were yummy.
They were yummy. That's the problem.
Oh, poor Karen.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Oh, you heard that. Sorry.
You're fine.
I didn't have my mute available.
That was cute. That might go in the bloopers.
Oh, no. It was very cute. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh, no.
If I sneezed, it would not be anywhere near the dainty. It
would
be
no, worse. Mine would not either.
Oh, see, I don't know how to sneeze, so it sounds different every time. Luckily, that was a cute one.
Victory.